Take your Bible tonight and let's go to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read a verse here and use that as a text tonight to preach just for a little bit. I suppose tonight is an informative message, all right, or a reinforcing message. I don't think we're going to break any new ground, but sometimes you have to do things and you have to preach to keep things right, all right? To remind people of what is right, what we ought to do. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. Look down, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 15. The Apostle Paul was writing here, obviously, and always am quick to say, under the inspiration of God. Paul wasn't just writing something that he thought was a good idea. This wasn't Paul's brilliance. This is the Lord, all right? And in writing Timothy, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is no secret, and I am happy to proclaim that I am a local church man. I believe that the church is the agency through which God works on this earth. I believe the Lord put the church here. I believe He started it while He was on the earth. I don't believe the church started on the day of Pentecost. Now, if you do, I'm not going to fight you, all right? But the Bible said it was added to on that day, and you add to something that's already there, all right? If your bank account is zero, we're not going to add to it. You're going to get one, all right? We're not adding to nothing, okay? So I believe the Lord started the church when He was here on the earth, and He promised that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And it was important to Him, and it ought to be important to you and I. The local church ought to mean something to us. I'll be honest, the church means everything to me. Everything to me. I got saved in a local church. I was called to preach in a local church. I met my wife in a local church. I got married in a local church. I was called to preach in a local church. I surrendered to preach in a local church. I was baptized in the Caloosahatchee River. You thought I was going to say I was baptized in a local church. I was baptized in the Caloosahatchee River in Florida, but it was under the authority of a local church. You say, why didn't you get baptized in a church? They didn't have enough water in there, all right? There was no baptistry, and it wasn't there, and so got saved, and we baptized in the river, and it was all through the local church. Now, truth be told, I learned all that I really need to know in the local church. I believe that, all right? I believe that. I learned how to live. I learned how to be saved. I learned how to conduct myself. I learned what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, and thank God for a local church. I'll be honest, I do not understand Christians who don't want to be in a local church, in a local New Testament church. I don't understand Christians like that. I don't understand Christians who come up and say, well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Whoever said you did. But I don't understand folks that are saved not going, all right? I just don't. Now, our text says the church is the house of God. Is the house of God. What in the world does that mean? It's the house of God. Well, let me give you a few things. Number one, that means it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. It's His church. It's His church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Lord was talking to Peter and He told Peter, I will build my church. I will build my church. It belongs to Him. Even the government, even in this day, our government recognizes and understands that the church belongs to God. Do you realize that? That the church belongs to God and these church buildings belong to Him. He said, well, how do you figure that? Well, that's why it's tax exempt. Tax exemption to a church was not given because, oh, well, we just feel like it'd be a good thing to do. No, governments recognize that a lower power cannot tax a higher power. And they realize they are the lower power, all right? And so, now I don't know how long that'll continue, but the church, it's His, belongs to Him. He bought it with His own blood, okay? He bought it with His own blood. It, by the way, it doesn't belong to the church building. A lot of people think the preacher owns it. Not if it's done right, it doesn't, okay? Now, there's some churches, we won't go there, all right? But if it's done right, doesn't belong to the pastor, all right? I, as the pastor of the church, it doesn't belong to me. I don't own it. I can't sell it. And you come to church one Sunday and say, clothes, been sold. Can't do that. Can't do that. It doesn't belong to me. I'm merely the under-shepherd that leads and cares for the church for the Lord. I follow His leading. And I say to you, as Paul said to folks, he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. You follow me as I follow Christ. Hey, it's His church. It's the house of God. Why? Because it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. You and I, as members of First Baptist Church, Haltom City, hold this church building, this property, we hold it for God. For God. I want you to understand that, okay? I want you to grasp that fact. If you're a member of this church, you're part of this congregation, then you and I together hold this in stewardship for God. Doesn't belong to us, but we hold it for Him, all right? So, number one, it belongs to Him. Number two, it's the home of His family. Your family resides in your home, don't they? Or they did at one time, all right? Now, I realize some of you, your family's grown and they've gone on. Well, the family of God finds its home in a local church. In a local church. It's here. Hey, it's not some invisible thing. I don't believe in the universal invisible church. I've got a friend who does not understand the local church at all. Doesn't understand joining a local church. He said, I'm already a member. And he doesn't understand the idea of a local church, all right? Have you ever noticed if it's your home and your family, didn't you feel at home there? Feel at home there? I can remember when my grandparents were alive. My grandparents were alive. The family would gather there, all right? We felt at home there. We felt at home there. Hey, there's one thing. You can be yourselves at home. You can be yourself. Now, I don't mean you can act the fool, all right? Because the Bible does say there, you did read that thou knowest, oughtest to behave thyself. You're supposed to behave yourself in the house of God. Ought to behave yourself. You can't act the fool there. But hey, I'll tell you this, we ought to feel at home. There ought to be a comfortable feeling in the local church. You as a member, you said, man, I feel at home here. This is a place I feel like I belong. I belong here. I've been to some places I didn't feel like I belonged. I knew I'm an outsider, and I looked around in some cases and said, I don't want to belong here. This is not something I want to belong to. But man, you can feel at home, all right? You can feel comfortable in the house of God because you're the family of God, all right? You should have your own place where you feel at home in a local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 talks about members in particular. Members in particular. And it's talking about members of a body, but that body is the church. All right? And it's that body is so important that we feel like we fit in here, okay? We fit in. The whole scriptures there talk about how all of us ought to fit in and work together to be the house of God, the church, all right? And we're to feel at home there. We're to love one another. We're to act like we like each other. I watched an old movie, I guess it was an old movie, on TV the other night. My wife and I were there. All the family was gone. It was peace and quiet. And so we were watching this old show, and man, it was this family, and boy, they were at odds with each other. All of them had no use for the other member of the family. I thought, man, I'm glad my family's not like that. Glad my family's not like that. We can get together. Now, there may be disagreements. There may be disagreements. But we don't beat each other, all right? We get along. The Bible says our church is to be like that. And that body is to be such that we never discount any member of that body. We never look down on any member of that body. All of them are there. All of them work together. Now, part of the body's strange, okay? There are parts of it that just look a little weird, right? Some of you, your body. I got to be real careful what I say here, you know. But I mean, you know, sometimes parts, they look a little strange, okay? Some people got strange looking toes. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, and I won't call your name that I know you and you have strange-looking toes. But some people do, all right? Some people have there's oddities. Some people have big ears. My uncle did. My uncle, man, he had big ears. And his sons got them, all right? And that's all right, not a problem, all right? And nothing wrong with that, okay? Hey, but every member fits in and they're a part. We don't say, you don't look just like me. Well, thank God, okay? That's a good thing. We fit in together. We're part of, we're members in particular. And we ought to be able, when we get to the house of God, it belongs to Him. We're part of it. We're a member. We ought to feel comfortable here. You ought to feel comfortable. That's why you ought to be able to sing, even if you can't sing. You ought to feel comfortable. I can sing air. Nobody's going to say anything to me. They won't. Man, if you hit a discordant note, fine. It's all right. We don't mind that. It's all right. You know, just go for it. Brother Mary gets here and he tries to get everybody to sing. He wants you to sing. Somebody says, well, I can't sing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, boy. Just go for it. You know, doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I like to hear people sing. I like to hear people sing even if they can't carry a tune. They sing off key. I was looking at a video the other day on YouTube. To me, it's funny. It's these four guys. They were actually singing school teachers. All right? And they taught the shape notes. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you don't. But they taught the shape notes. And They were singing school teachers, and four of them got together and they was going to sing a quartet. And they got started singing, and man, you could tell one of them was way off. Way off, all right? And it was flat, and it didn't. And so they stopped. And then one guy said, all right, now somebody's off. You need to get on the note, all right? They had the piano, give them the notes, and he said, all right, let's do it again. They started again, and man, it was still. One, it was off. So he stopped, and the same guy said, now listen, somebody's off. And the other fellow said, it's you. It's you. Now, they were just horsing around having fun, all right? But man, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I think it's good, and I think it'd be great if church, we'd try our best to learn to sing parts and all of that. It'd sound good. But if you can't, you said, man, I don't even know how to. When I read the songbook as a kid, I couldn't figure out what they were doing. Because, you know, if you got a song that's got four verses, well, when I was reading, I'd read that line and drop to the next line. And I said, where are they reading? Where are they going? That's why when I sing now, I mostly sing, I learn them by heart, and I just sing what I remember. Now, I finally figured out, you know, you sing on this and then you drop down. And, okay, I figured that out after a while. But man, as a kid, I didn't think, what are they doing? That's all right, you sing, okay? Why? You ought to feel comfortable. You ought to feel comfortable in the house of God, right? It belongs to Him, all right? It's home for the family, all right? It's the meeting place for the family. The meeting place for the family. You think about this. Didn't you meet there when you growing up? Did you meet at your grandparents' house? Did you ever do that? Man, our whole family, we'd meet at the grandparents'. My dad's family, of course, my grandpa, I remember meeting at my grandparents there in Georgia, my dad's mom and dad. I remember going there. There was no running water in the house. I mean, there was a well. You wanted water, you ran out there and drew some, all right? If you need to go to the bathroom, you ran out to that little house out behind the house, all right? And there was no indoor plumbing. It wasn't there. I was there the day my dad tore that house down and got folks to help him build my grandparents another house. I was there when they tore it down. This one had indoor plumbing, all right? But even when they sold the farm and moved into town, wherever Grandpa and Grandma lived, that was home. And we'd meet there. We'd have a good time. Grandpa and Grandma died. And so Mom and Dad's house became, my mom and dad's house became the meeting place. And boy, we'd meet there, and there were times we'd have my uncle and his family, his two boys and their families, and sometimes we had a cousin from Georgia that was out here. We just had a good old time meeting. Now, you know you're getting old when they meet at your house. All right, they meet at your house, all right? Say, my son, we met at your house the other day. You're getting old, all right? Hey, we meet together. Why? Well, that's where the family meets. Remember what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? Let's go over there, okay? I could say most of it from memory, but I don't want to do that. Let's see what it says, Hebrews 10, 25. Notice, here's what the Word of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, we meet. Well, why do we meet? Well, we meet for fellowship. We meet for fellowship. Where do we meet? In the house of God. We meet for fellowship. We're here, we fellowship. We get together, we shake hands. Sometimes we hug one another. All right? Sometimes we antagonize each other. Amen. I won't call any names, but certain ones do that. But it's because we love each other, all right? We meet for fellowship. This past Tuesday night, we met for fellowship. And some folks will come when there's food and fellowship that won't come when there's preaching. You say, well, let's talk about them. Remember, you don't talk against another member, all right? They're part of us. They're part of us, all right? We meet for the fellowship. Not only that, we meet for encouragement. Notice what he said there. Notice what he said in Hebrews 10, 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. That's encouraging one another. Encouraging. We do that. We gather together. We gather together, encourage one another. Hey, we've got folks right now, families going through some tough times. We've got folks going through difficulties. We've got, man, so many. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 families that in their family somebody's going through cancer treatment. They need encouragement. They need encouragement. We need to hold them up. We need to let them know, hey, praying for you. I'm praying for you. And I may have missed somebody. Brother Minyard, he's going through it. Sue Ellen Smith, she's going through cancer treatment. All right. Brother Chester's folks, Brother Starkey, he's going through cancer treatment. We have 4 members of our church that there's somebody in their family going through cancer. You know, one of the greatest things we can do is encourage one another there. Lift them up. Lift them up. Say, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I was at Brother Minyard's house this week, and I said, Brother, I want you to fight it. I want you to fight it. I want him to fight it. I don't want him to give up. I don't want him to give in. Listen, we encourage one another. We come alongside each other. Isn't it good to have somebody wrap their arm around you every once in a while and say, I just want you to know I'm praying for you? Even if nothing is wrong that we know of, it's still okay to encourage one another. That's a good thing to do. That's what we're here for, all right? We meet for enlightenment. Hopefully, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God provides that. Every one of us need it, all right? Every one of us need it. But we also meet for enlightenment in the family because, you know, so what have you been up to lately? What's been going on, all right? What's been happening in your life, all right? What's God done for you lately? What are your needs? So don't ask that because I may have to give it. Well, that's good. Lord, ask people, what are your needs? What do you need? I talked to those folks in our church that are going through struggles this week. I tried to ask every one of them, do you need anything? Do you need anything? Is there anything we can do for you? Hey, we ought to do that as a church. All right? The church is the house of God. It's the meeting place for the family of God. Now, we do not believe God lives in this building. But I want you to think of it. God does reside here in the sense that he resides in his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. Look in Matthew chapter 18. Look back in Matthew chapter 18. The Lord, we don't believe he lives here. We don't we don't lock him in when we leave, you know. We don't believe that. But, hey, we do believe he resides here in the presence of his people, all right? Notice Matthew 18, verse 20. The Lord said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we get together, he shows up. He shows up. And I think oftentimes what he does for us while we're here depends upon us, depends upon our attitude and our receptiveness to our Lord. Because one of the things we have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit of God. That means we've got to allow him to work in us. We've got to turn it over and say, all right, Lord, you can have it. We want you to do something for us. Some people come to church and say, I just never get anything out of it. I've had people say, preacher, I just don't get anything. But then I got other people say, man, every time I come, I get something. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? I think sometimes it depends on you bringing the bucket to get it in, all right? You don't bring anything to put it in, then you won't get anything. You come not expecting anything, you won't go home disappointed. But if you come looking for God to speak to you, to help you, hey, you don't have to get saved again every service, thank the Lord. Once was enough. You get born again, you're on your way to heaven, good. But I tell you, every now and then it's good when God will just pour a bucket of honey on you. Just do something. But we don't get that if we don't come wanting something. We have to come that way. So the Lord's promised that he'll come when we gather together. As I say, he doesn't live in the building, but it represents that special place where he meets with his children. You say, well, I can feel his presence at home. Good, you should. But I tell you what, you ought to feel it here. You ought to feel it here. Now, you come all bent out of shape, out of sorts. You come and on the way to the church, you and your spouse get into it. Or just before you leave, y'all get into it. Say, I'm not waiting any longer for you to get ready. I'm leaving. Well, go ahead and leave. You go at it. But they wait and they get in the car and honk the horn. You come out, get in the car, and boy, it's... But you come into church. How you doing? How you doing? Come on. You need to make it right with your husband or your wife. don't need to come out of sorts. I'll never forget hearing Tony Hudson preach. And he was preaching, and he said, he was giving an experience. He said, I was going to preach somewhere. And he said, I got into an argument with my wife just before I left. And he said, but I got in the car and I left and I'm on the way. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, now you're going to preach somewhere else, but you're not even right at home. He said, man, I got her in conviction. I turned around and came back. He said, I came back in the house. I looked up. My wife, she was crying when I got there. And he came in and he said, honey, I'm sorry. She said, no, I'm sorry. He said, it's my fault. She said, no, it's my fault. He said, no, it's my fault. She said, no, it's my fault. Hey, listen to me, woman. I said, it's my fault. But they settled it. They settled it. And he was able to go and preach, you know. Hey, we ought to come to the house of God expecting God to meet with us, expecting to get something from Him. Special. Hey, it's the house of God. That means it's the place where He stands supreme. He stands supreme. Sometimes you hear people talking about a man being the lord of his castle. The Bible talks about a bishop ought to rule his own house. A man ought to rule his own house well. Now, in this day of feminism and women's lib and people lacking in knowledge in the Bible, sometimes people rebel at that. But God put the man there to be in charge and to rule, not to slavishly take out the whip and put it on, but to be the leader. And he ought to do it. He ought to do it. And he ought to stand out, okay? Abraham's wife, Sarah, called him Lord. She said, I'd never do that. Maybe that's your problem, okay? And by the way, I think a man ought to treat his wife like the queen. You ought to treat them right, okay? Not going any further down that tonight, okay? But the house of God is where God stands supreme. We acknowledge Him as the leader. We acknowledge Him as the leader. We're here because of Him. We're here because of Him. We came to church tonight because somewhere, somehow, God's done something in our life. God's done something. Or people are here. Now, it's Sunday night. When my dad started preaching and started pastoring, Sunday night was the time visitors would come. Now it's Sunday morning. So usually on Sunday night, it's church folks that's here. Now, I realize we got visitors, and that's wonderful. But usually on Sunday night, it's church members that are here. All right? They're the ones that are there. And they come to be there. That's why. Hey, why are we here? Because God done something for us. He did something for us. When He saved me back yonder as a 9-year-old kid, He changed me completely. He did a work in me, and He's been working in me since that day. And boy, I've never gotten over what He did. And I come to the house of God because of what happened to me years ago. Now I'm going to keep coming, okay? We worship Him. We're here to worship Him. We're here to prove we love Him. I'll be honest with you, pass the offering plate, there's your chance to prove you love Him. The Bible says you give to prove the sincerity of your love. We prove that we love Him, all right? We prove that. We're here in the house of God. Why? He's supreme. He's supreme. We don't lift anybody else up. We don't lift anybody else up. We're not here to brag on any man. We're not to brag on any human. We're not here to do that. Now, we may sometimes recognize people because they've done something and thank the Lord for them, but we're not here to lift up somebody. We're here to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to point you to Him. Here to point you to Him. You need Him. You need to realize He's the one we worship. Let me wind up tonight with just a few things. Number one, His house is more important than your house. His house is more important than your house. What happens in his house takes precedent over what happens in your house. That's why I'm at church. That's why I don't miss church. Don't miss it. Well, preacher, somebody came in. I've had people that came to visit. We left them at home because they wouldn't come. I tried to get them to come, but they wouldn't come. So what'd you do? We'll see you when church is over. We'll see you when church is over. You don't want to come? Don't, but we're going. Well, my family get upset. Let them get upset, but let them know that you know who is owed the preeminence. Hey, second thing, it's important that you not miss meeting with him there. I want to say this, and I believe it. I believe you miss something every time you miss a service. You miss service. You said, what did I miss? I don't know, because I don't know what you needed. But I guarantee you miss something every time you miss. If the house of God meets, your church meets, and you're not here, you miss something if you're not there. You just miss it, all right? His house is worthy of your presence. His house is worthy of your presence. If you get invited to my house, you want to come, come. If you don't. You won't make me mad. You got something else going, I won't think, well, man, they hurt my feelings. But his house is worthy of your presence. It's worthy of you being here. Just being here. Well, I can't come. If you can go other places, you can go to the church. Notice in Hebrews it said so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not the less, the more. You're to come more, not less. I'll tell you this, his house is worthy of your support. It's worthy of it. We ought to support it. We ought to support it with our presence. We ought to support it in our purse. We ought to just be a part of it, okay? We ought to support it in our labor and everything we do. Why? Because it's the house of God. It belongs to him, but so do I. And if you're saved, so do you. You ought to be a part. Be a part. Take part. So, well, I can't sing. Okay. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to sing a special. That's okay. Well, I can't teach. Okay. Don't teach. But I'll tell you this. Everybody can say, hey, how you doing? We're glad you're here. My name's Fred or Sally or Sue or whatever, and we're glad you're at church. Anybody can do that. Anybody can hold the door and say, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. You're welcome. We're glad you're here. Anybody can do that. Anybody. Anybody. You may not be the smartest person in the world, but there's not a one of you here that cannot run the machine called a broom. Anybody can do it, run one of them. Anybody can do that. I mean, it doesn't take a college degree. You don't even have to go to Bible college one semester. You can run a broom. You can run a swab in that porcelain bowl. You can do it. Hey, we can do something, all right? It means it's the house of God, belongs to him. I belong to him. It's important to him. He put it here for us. And he said, I've left it in your hands. Take care of it. That falls upon us to do it. Then we ought to be involved. We ought to be involved. One time years ago, I read this article that said if you were a fly fisherman that fishing with a fly rod, you can catch more fish than any other way. I went and bought me a fly rod. And I went and got it. I got this video and I watched it to learn how to cast a fly rod. I'd seen people casting a fly rod, and I'd often thought, how in the world you do that? But I thought, well, I'll just learn. So I got that video, and I learned how to cast that fly rod. Learned how to cast. I found out there was a fly fisherman's club in Fort Worth. I went to one meeting. Went to one meeting. And I thought to myself, you know, they were real friendly. They welcomed me in. They said, man, love to have you come back. Said, why didn't you go back? I don't have time. I'm too busy here. I'm not preaching against fly fishing. You said, how'd you do as a fly fisherman? I don't know. I've never had a line in the water. The only place I've ever cast it is in the street in front of my house or in the yard, but I did pretty good with it. One time I hooked some grass. I never went, okay? Still got the fly rod. One day I may go. But hey, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy here. I'm not against it. I'm not against you being a fisherman. If you like to fish, fish. I try to go every once in a while. Hopefully I'll get to go this next year. Haven't been in about 2 years, but I hope they go this year. You know? Hey, nothing wrong with it. But if I'm going to devote my life and I'm going to be involved, I'm going to be in what God's involved in. I'm part of His family. I belong to Him. And I'm a part. I belong to His church. Look, I'm just saying to you, the church is, it belongs to God. It is the house of God. It belongs to Him. You belong to Him. You ought to be active in that house. Be involved in what's going on. Say, I want to take a part. Good, you should want to. Get involved. Well, I can't do anything or everything. Hey, you said, well, I can't talk to people. I'm shy. Well, come go with somebody that will so they don't have to go by themselves. Well, Brother Stephen over here started coming. He started coming to church. He's a fanatic. He's coming every service. He comes on Thursday night to go out soul winning with us. And I don't know what got into him, all right? Yeah, I do know what got into him, all right? I do know what got into him. Good, wonderful. We ought to get involved. We ought to get involved. Why? This belongs to him. This is his business, and it's important to him. It ought to be important to us. We ought to meet when the family meets. I like to come. I want to be there when the family's together. Because you have to defend yourself, right? Sometimes. Need to be there. Need to be there. Hey, it's the church. It belongs to the Lord. It's the house of God. Hey, how important is it to you? How important is it to you? Well, preacher, I'm here. Well, if you got that attitude, something's wrong with you, all right? You ought to be here. You ought to be taken apart. Get involved in it. Hey, if the Lord's speaking to you about it, maybe you need to join the church. I don't know. Well, here we are. We're going to give an invitation. God speaks to you. That's fine. Good. All right? You do what God wants you to do. Heavenly Father, would you just deal with us tonight? Lord, help us to see the importance of the house of God, the church.